Welcome to Linux Link Radio by TimeSys, the podcast for embedded Linux developers who want to simplify and speed up their custom platform development. Visit TimeSys.com today for access to our podcast archives.
Okay, hi, this is Gene.
And Maciej, welcome back.
Hey, so we were talking about, even though I didn't want to talk about it, we were talking about open software and free software and the licensing and all that other GPL sort of stuff.
Last time, yes. Yeah,
even though I was really interested in talking about shared libraries and the particulars of LD library path and how the loader worked and everything.
I could tell by the midst of our recording that you were very much enjoying the topic. So.
Yeah, I was. I managed to keep my eyes open the whole time, which is, I think, accomplishment in itself.
Well, free software is really a very interesting topic, and I think that we get more than ever questions from customers. As a matter of fact, we have... Spoken over the past few weeks with a couple of customers, myself and you as well, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And we were talking about licensing and free software.
Yeah, because people don't know what's involved and they want to comply. And I know we went on for a little bit, but one of the things we sort of missed is, you know, folks that are out there, you know, what are they doing for licensing and how does it work? And I know that once we finished up, because we try to, believe it or not, we do try to plan. but we finished up. We didn't talk about folks that actually have, you know, GPL software and it's licensed and different sort of schemes and what they do for compliance and all that other good stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know then the other thing we got talking about was folks that put like node locking on their licenses too, and other like DRM protection schemes inside GPL software.
Well, I think that you alluded some to that when you were talking about TiVoization.
Oh yeah.
I think that there are a couple of examples and perhaps we should talk about what components of Linux are really truly free or open source, let's put it this way, and components that you can find out there in the open source and components that you can get from various vendors as well.
Sure. So the totally open and free would be what? Like the kernel?
The kernel.
Yeah, no problem with that.
And that's the piece that is has to be adjusted to specific hardware that you're working with. Mm-hmm. But before you get to that point, you have to set up your environment, right? And to, assembly environment can be a very time-consuming thing. Mm-hmm. But as far as different components that get into that environment are concerned, you have choices.
Yeah. One of the nice things is that, you know, for the kernel at least, there is a very vested interest on the board manufacturers to make sure their software is out there and is compatible and is as licensed and open and free as possible. Mm-hmm. I remember like a couple of years back, there were some vendors that insisted that they needed to have some super secret, you know, binary only modules that, you know, that tainted the kernel when they loaded in. But I mean, that's really gone away. I mean, hardware vendors have seen the light to the point that they understand that, you know, when their software is free and open and support, you know, and available to the community, it'll be supported by the community. And it's one of those rising tide lifts all the boats in the water kind of situation. Yeah,
and TimeSys has been on that boat as well, right? Yeah. And we jumped out of that boat roughly, 3-4 years ago, and more or less with the introduction of 2.6 Linux kernel.
Yeah, well, for a while, TimeSys did have proprietary kernel modules that they loaded in.
So, but not to jump off the main topic. Uh-huh. So kernel, and kernel is definitely free. Mm-hmm. you can get Linux kernel from various vendors and they can charge money for it. But once you get that kernel, it usually is not licensed in any other way than GPL. I mean, it's not node locked, it's free.
Right? Yeah. Well, the fortunate thing about hardware vendors is their real goal is to get out there and have people buy boards. So if what they have isn't in the mainline kernel, it's not because they're not trying. Mm-hmm. I know there's through no intention, or not through intention, but generally to get patches for like the startup code for processors in the mainline kernel takes sometimes longer than it takes some other sort of patches. So there is a lag, but it's certainly not their desire for it to be that way.
And today, most of semiconductor vendors and board vendors treat Linux as a way to validate hardware. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the first pieces of software that is developed and brought up on a new hardware. Mm-hmm. And that's also great news for us, for people that want to adopt the hardware and use open source software, because you get kernel right out of the gate. But
And then you brought up the other pieces.
Which is actually probably even more important than the kernel, because those other pieces will be involved in the process of assembling, evaluating applications, assembling a system that meets specific requirements of your product. So what are those other pieces? Let's list them out quickly.
Okay, well, first one is cross-compiler.
And that involves GCC, that involves binutils, that involves some sort of a C library, and then tons of other libraries.
Even the curious thing is, even the purists say, hey, you really don't need a C library to compile the kernel. But for all intents and purposes, you do need some C library, because the kernel builds a bunch of applications that are, you know, support applications that run on your board, like menu config is, you know, compiled and runs on your system. And I know it depends on Lex and Bison and has some other constraints. So it's not as though it's zero. As long as you need no glibc. I mean, you do need some libc. It may not be for the target, but you definitely need something.
So in terms of GCC itself, is it free?
Well, it's free from GNU, and it's designed to be GPL licensed, you know, free software. And, you know, for the spin of GCC you need for your target board, that's where things get a little bit itchy, because you have to, even though the sources are free, there are frequently architecture or even processor dependent patches you need to get. You need to sort of lasso those up and get your cross-compiler cross-compiled along with typically the standard library, even though it's really not necessary for kernel work. And then you have to get the binutils as well. I mean,
well, but those various optimizations, just as information for our listeners, usually gets into GCC mainline within 6 to 10 or maybe 12 months from the introduction of a new architecture, new core, new processor from a semiconductor vendor. So this is more or less also time that it takes to assemble first hardware designs and get them into software design stages where you would require a well-optimized compiler. So, but GCC itself is free, and you can get it from various websites, including Free Software Foundation. Is that the website?
GNU.org.
GNU.org. I'm sorry.
It's gcc.gnu.org.
Okay.
But you know what most people do is they'll go out there, they'll go to CrossTool or have them, but either that or something like Open Embedded. Most people like CrossTool because Open Embedded, you need to have like a mind meld with their BitBake system there. You need to make a BitBake recipe. You have to learn a new language.
Well,
there's like a secret handshake involved. There's all kinds of stuff. A lot of folks go with the cross tool because it builds.
It's exactly as you said, assembling a cross tool chain. If you don't have that expertise in house, can be, to say the least, time consuming, right?
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things, having done this, you know, you don't know, but like my first job here at TimeSys was go build that tool chain. And, and even though it was just hard, right?
Yeah.
And what would happen is that your script would fail, you know, something would fail for some reason because, you know, it wasn't built on your type of host or there's some configuration issue. And the latency was 4 hours, right? So you'd make one little change and you'd have to hope you got it right, because in order for you to figure out whether you got it right or not, I had to wait 4 hours in order for things to compile.
So you can get GCC from open source. You can get GCC from different projects.
It was a big slow-moving disaster, that whole project.
You can get GCC.
In spite of that, they kept me on. They kept me on, even though I think it took me
long. Well, I think from the time when you played with toolchains, the project itself accelerated. There were quite a few new releases of GCC and all associated tools.
I just thought it was because I was incompetent.
But so let's actually talk about the sources again, because I wanted to provide all the needed information to listeners that are investigating that particular topic, right? Where do I get GCC and cross compilers and entire development environment from? So you can definitely assemble it yourself by getting different components from open source. You can get pre-built binary components, pre-built GCC in a configuration from different open source projects.
Yeah, that's becoming there's more of those out there. A lot. I know what inhibited that the first time around was the fact that a lot of folks didn't have the bandwidth to deal with the 1 gigabyte download that was GCC. But the other issue is that there are so many different configuration things to twiddle with.
Yeah.
That you frequently need to compile one yourself anyway.
Right. And usually when you get a cross toolchain from one of those open source projects, they are geared towards a specific application that project is about. Mm-hmm. So another source are vendors, and let's talk about vendors. You can get, I've seen a model where you pay for software and you get open source software assembled for you. But once you get it, you can do with it whatever you want. It's yours. I mean, both binaries and the source code, and you can run them on as many machines as you want.
Yeah, well, it's GPL, so they owe you the source. I mean, no matter what, they owe you the source and reasonably a way to build it.
Right, but there's no any way of limiting the usage of binary components or of GCC from some vendors. And very recently, I've noticed that there is one other type of vendors out there that provide or license the build environment.
You talking about the guys at NodeLock?
That's right.
NodeLock GCC?
I'm talking about people that use tools like FlexLM to lock GCC to a specific machine.
Yeah, I saw that. It was kind of funny. There was like a posting. There was a Usenet posting. And I thought, oh, okay, whatever. And it just so happened like a couple of weeks ago, I talked to someone that was like stuck in that situation. And then just like a couple of days ago, I ran across at least two or three people that were similarly situated. I felt bad for them.
Well, it's an interesting approach, right? Because there are companies that try to use free software to, I mean, they sell free software, but they try to limit the usage of binaries on a per
user. Isn't that like a slap in the face to everyone that worked on that code, though? I mean, it really is.
Yeah, it is.
It's
supposed to actually help.
I think slap in the face is the nicest thing I could say. No, but seriously.
Okay, go on.
No, that's okay.
I know that you've spent some time looking at the NodeLock approach to GCC, and I agree. This is by far the most surprising thing to me as well.
Well, yeah,
being in this space for quite some time,
considering
now,
considering like the thousands and thousands of contributors into that product, and you're completely, I can't even think of the word. I mean, you're completely subverting all of their work and all of their effort.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not yours, and you shouldn't be doing that. I mean, the funnier thing is, so
okay,
I thought, well.
Make me laugh.
Probably isn't funny to anyone, me, but so you could tell, like, I'm sure like some cube dweller in marketing, this was their brilliant idea, right?
Uh-huh.
Dorks. But so it's like, get the sources and just comment that line out, right? It's like two slashes, right? And that's what you got to do. And off you go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even understand what they're trying to do other than anger, you know, the folks that get the software.
Well, I'm just thinking about users that get to deal with build environment that's delivered this way, and the pain of developing free software.
Even Microsoft doesn't NodeLock their compiler.
They do not. You can take the compiler and move it to another machine. What's NodeLocked in terms of Microsoft? We I'm not sure if we should talk about Microsoft here, but
okay.
As far as development tools are concerned,
and this is way off topic, but did you see their I'm making even quotes with my fingers here. Quotes. Did you see their commercial?
Yes, I did.
It's like,
it was funny.
I want my minute back. I mean, it wasn't funny. I mean, it was the thing that was funny is that someone actually thought about it, and that's what they made. That was the funny part.
Are you talking about Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah, that someone didn't say stop.
Yeah.
I think there should be a refund site where you can get your minute back.
But it actually caught your attention. You did watch it, and you do remember it. So, but. Anyways, we are off the topic here. Let's go back to free software and Linux.
Let me tell you about the car wreck I saw last week too. Right? Caught my attention. I remember it. There's a big chain, and this is where I was.
Another minute that you want to forget.
Yeah, I was outside of Baltimore, and I'm sitting on the highway, you know, stuck. And then I hear the police things, right? And then I see the fire truck coming down the berm of the road. And then I thought to I'm thinking to myself, well, this can't be good. I'm going to be here for a while. And it just so happened when I was leaving that later that night, this office, there was a house on fire. Right down, it was like there's this wave of disaster running through the JFX corridor where I was. Okay, so back on topic.
Do not drive close to my house, okay?
Well, you're the one who had plane problems, right? Parts of the plane falling off every time you landed.
Yeah.
But anyway, so back on topic again. But no, but the whole licensing thing, I mean, that's, but you know, you should just be able to, I mean, that's really one of the cases where you should be demanding the source. So you don't find yourself in that sort of pickle.
Well, especially because I understand a way of providing additional tools that utilize command line tools, GNU tools that are designed to be free. So if you have another layer on top of those tools, on top of GCC that make the task of assembling applications, Linux kernel, root file system, cross-compiling different packages easy, then not locking those tools, those higher level tools, makes sense because they are primarily developed by commercial, various vendors.
Well, it's work that you do in-house that's, you know, separate from the tool. It doesn't inhibit GCC from working. So let's say if you make the magic GCC front end for code development. I think they call those IDEs these days. But let's say you make one of those magic things and you make your windowing system and all that other work. Then if you want to node lock that, more power to you, right? Yeah. That's perfectly fine. And that's even that's within your rights as a even someone that's calling a GPL program, entirely within your rights.
That's right.
And you know, as a you know, someone that's buying software, you should know to ask that question.
It's kind of like you know, I'm going to use right now Linux kernel. We'll actually take the entire Linux kernel, and I will cross compile it for you, and I will node lock it because this should actually run on one machine only. That's what it feels to me.
Were you the consultant for them?
I would fail miserably, as you can tell.
Yeah, but that's entirely the thing. It's like, okay, well, you can give the sources, but don't change them.
Yeah,
or something. And I just don't get that. That's just one of those things.
That well, so the information for our listeners is that if you're assembling your build environment, you can get GCC and cross toolchains from open source. You can assemble them yourself. You can get them from vendors and vendors that provide them to you. And I mean, one-time fee, I believe there's upfront for a service of assembling. But once you get the binaries and the sources, you can use them on as many machines as you want.
Yeah, I mean, the key is to get, you know, to get out there and make sure you get the sources, and then make sure you don't have anyone who has kids, right, understands the concept of malicious compliance, right? So you know how that works, Matya, don't you?
I have kids.
Yeah, but yes. you know the concept of malicious compliance, right?
Yep.
So, but you have to make sure that they're also not being, you know, maliciously compliant with the GPL. Which is, it's a sad thing that turns up, but you want to make sure that, hey, that you get the sources and you're able to rebuild your tool chain and you're able to modify your tool chain and not be, you know, stuck and not be, and not get support anymore.
That's right. Because in the future, you might choose to reuse your different components that you've used for that project 2-3 years ago. And you might want to just build the next version of it and reuse most of it, of what you've already developed.
Yeah. Or, you know, you may need to patch it. Processor might be out there for a while, and then a bug is found, you know, 2 years later, and geez, you should probably want to patch your cross compiler if you're still supporting it, and you shouldn't be stuck having to go back to, you know, on hands and knees to your vendor, assuming they're still around, and then, you know, do that. I mean, that's not right. It is. I mean, it's the opposite of free software.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. So toolchain. Linux kernel definitely free, and packages. Well, that story with packages is different because, of course, open source projects that host variety of different packages that provide different feature functionality, graphics, wireless stacks, and such. But there are also proprietary packages, and that's perfectly fine because we're in a world of companies developing software completely from scratch.
Yeah, and that's totally okay. Yeah. So if you're out there, because again, there's the classic example, and I'm not picking on anyone, but the classic example is graphic stacks, right? Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of companies out there that Linux kernel is free software. They may, but their graphic stack that drives the touch pads, that puts the frames on the thing, that makes the buttons, that does all and there's hard work. That's something that, because it's small and they've done a lot of work on it, it's proprietary. Mm-hmm. And if you want to node lock that at runtime and whatever licensing constraints that whatever the cube dwellers in their marketing department think are appropriate, that's okay.
Absolutely. I mean, you've put your resources, time into optimizing the performance for end user, and it's your right to sell that.
Yeah. And well, the deal is too, is it's usually, you know, that up front, right? So if you go deal with a graphics vendor, I don't want to mention anybody's name because it's a point, but you know, if you want to deal with a graphics vendor, they'll tell you, hey, it's this much money. you know, yes, we'll give you the source. No, you don't have a right to redistribute the source. And yes, this is how much we sell it for. Mm-hmm.
And this is
that's
how
the deal.
And that's how that particular software is going to behave on a target that you develop. This is the performance. So they provide not only the pre-built binaries, tools to develop graphics applications mm-hmm. with those different packages, but also support performance measures, performance numbers, so that you can design your application in a very consistent way.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. I mean, so in user land, you have to be a lot more careful. Yeah. You know, a lot of what Linux comes out with, what someone's going to combine node lock BusyBox next, right? That's going to be the next maneuver.
But I know a few people that wouldn't like that.
Yeah. So. You know, for a lot of what you get out in user land, it's designed to be the way Linux is set up. You can have whatever license you want, and many of the packages are used by embedded vendors. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily like they're selling you zlib. That's really not what they're selling you. They're selling you zlib that's been cross-compiled for mm-hmm. your target, because you know, if you're dealing with a big system, that's one hassle you may not want to deal with. Mm-hmm. I even presented a hassle. That's just one chore. You just may not choose to deal with. You trade. It's the same deal with any software, right? I mean, you're going to trade some amount of money for some amount of development schedule. That's, right. That's worth it.
You want to spend your money and time on something that you really is going to differentiate your product in the market space, and don't really build everything from scratch only because it's open source. So.
And I guess that's when you're investigating, when you get engaged with a vendor, you want to check about those sorts of situations. Mm-hmm. Because the same thing, I mean, so if you're dealing with a vendor and they say, okay, here is zlib, they should volunteer you zlib sources, and so you can, and at the same time they should also be nice and tell you how they compiled zlib so you can do it yourself.
That's right.
And they should also not throw the book at you if you choose to recompile zlib, right? Because I guess it also gets into the compliance thing. It's like, well, here's the sources, here's everything, but don't you dare cross-compile that son again. You have to call a consulting service. Right? You know, you don't want to deal with someone like that either. Yeah. There's a lot of mom-and-pop places, and that's pretty much their model.
Yeah, consulting houses.
Yeah, it's like a consulting gig.
Okay, I think that we've exhausted the topic, at least to a degree. I'm sure that we could talk about it for the next couple of hours. But we are interested in your opinions in this particular topic. And if you could, please do share your opinions with us. We'll try to share your opinions with everybody else here.
Yeah, feel free to write in. I mean, if you've gotten a shaft from someone that was, you know, goofing around with their licensing or somehow made it difficult for you, you can write in. We're not interested in names or whatever else. The important thing to know is what to look for and how not to get stuck.
Right? Yeah, and if you have any suggestions for what you would like to hear about next from us, also send us a message, and
we're talking about shared library
to cover Gene's topic, right?
Much as you don't want to talk about it, we are, because most people run into problems dealing with them. It has its own collection of peculiarities.
So please do.
It's interesting, if only to me, right?
Send us emails or send emails to Gene and me, so that Gene can see that there's interest in shared libraries topic.
I'm going to have my kids send them.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time today. And
oh, and it's the email address, right? Podcast@timesys.com.
Podcast@timesys.com.
Yeah. Drop us a line. Believe it or not, we get more mail than I think we should, but we do read it, and we reply to folks that write into us.
And if you write to us on something interesting and that we can bring up during our next episode here, we'll make sure to send you one of nice t-shirts with the Linux Link Radio logo.
Oh, do we have those?
Oh, with nice, yeah, we do.
Are you serious?
Yeah, wow. Didn't you design them?
No, no one. Maché, come on. No one talks to me about anything. I mean, if I want to know what's going on here, I call my wife or someone, and she tells me what's going on. She knows before me. Come on.
So now I understand why everybody else is calling your wife. Okay, well, thank you very much for the time today.
Yeah, thanks for listening. And I said we're going to get back on the regular episode deal now that summer's over and we have to get back to work and stop playing around. Right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by TimeSys. Are you new to embedded Linux? Looking for a way to simplify your next project? The Linux Link service by TimeSys makes it easy to build your custom embedded Linux platform. Go to timesys.com today or call 866-392-4897 to learn more.